Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. First of all, I have to thank God for allowing us to meet every Wednesday night together to explore the Word of God so that we could be strengthened. Because God knows that His Word would be our strength in times of trouble. It would be water when we are thirsty. It'll be sight when we can't see. It will guide us out of danger when we're lost. And it picks us up when we are down. I thank God for His Word. And I thank God for allowing us to have this opportunity. I also thank God for allowing me to be able to go before His people. I thank the Holy Ghost because He's definitely in the plan. Hallelujah. And I thank God for this day. Everybody didn't have an opportunity to see it. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful. There's so much going on in the world today. You know, through the grace of God, those boys that was trapped in that cave, they all was rescued. They all were alive. What a mighty God we serve. And you see, one man lost his life trying to rescue them. He was a Navy SEAL man. But, you know, I'm sure we have to pray for his family. Because that's, you know, devastating for him to lose his life like that. But God has a design purpose for all of us. And it just looked like God's hand was on the whole situation, even with that tragic outcome. Because God is in control. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Luke. And the title of the lesson is Those Who Have Been Given More Should Be Willing to Give More. It's coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to expound on the 40th to the 48th verse. At this time, I always play a song and to get you ready for the word. You know, there's a message in the songs and there's something being said. And I ask that you listen and be prayerful. Once the song is completed, I'm asking that someone would press the one button and go to the throne of grace in prayer. So here's the song. The title of the song is You Can't Beat God's Giving. And I thought that song was so appropriate for tonight. So be prayerful for our Bible study tonight. Pray for one another. And allow God to have His way.
To understand you much better if I can get familiar. Thank you.
And that was, you can't be God's given no matter how you try. And as the lady said in the song, give him a try. God said, prove me therewith, said the Lord of hosts, that I won't open the windows and pull you out blessings that you won't have room to receive it. Everything belonged to God. And he said, what would it be for me to withhold anything from my children? Hallelujah. God has established and put everything in place here on earth for us to enjoy. But we have to be in position to receive it. It's time to go to the throne of grace, and I'm so happy and elated that my grandson, Madison Chambers, has called to lead us to the throne of grace on tonight. As always, I ask that each and every one of you pray for my grandson, and not just him, but school is about to open again. We have to pray for our children and the teachers and administrators that this could be a very good school year for everybody involved. And I ask that you pray that God will build a fence around my grandson and allow favor to flow in his life and that he continue to look towards God and use the things of God for his moral compass. That's my prayer. And I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for him. Call his name up. His name is Madison Andrew Chambers. And at this time, Madison, you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
Are you ready to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
God, thank you for allowing us to wake up today and let us live this wonderful day out. And please allow us to learn the beautiful things today so we can carry on this week and so we can make you happy when we go to heaven, God. And please allow us to be able to make a change in this world because what's going on right now is not the best. And we know that this doesn't make you happy, but you want to make sure that we can do as much as we can because we are the chosen people. Thank you, God. And please allow us to share our word before our time comes, judgment day comes, so we can have all of the children go up to heaven, God. And thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Thank you so much, Madison, for that beautiful prayer, that spirit-filled prayer. And you keep on letting God use you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And I thank you again. The Bible says we have to train up the children in the way they should go. So even when they depart, they know how to come back. They can't come back if there's nothing to come back to. So that's our prayer. Some more people have called in on the line. Thank you, Jesus. And with that being said, I'm going to say the title again, and I'm going to say where the scriptures is found. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, the 40th verse. If you don't have your Bible, get your Bible so you can follow as we explore the Word of God together. As always, whenever I do a lesson, I always like to give background. The writer of this lesson, the writer of this book where the lesson is being pulled from is Luke. I want you to know that Luke is the author of the book of Luke, and sometimes he was called Luke the Evangelist because of his involvement in proclaiming the gospel with Paul. See, Luke was a companion to Paul, you see, who Paul called his beloved physician. This indicates that Luke was not of circumcision. See, when Paul speaks of Luke, he say, my beloved physician. You know, if he was talking about a Jew or Israelite Israelite or something like that. He would call my brother in the faith. But Luke, he called his beloved physician. That lets us know that he wasn't of the circumcision, which means that he was a Gentile. Luke was not a Jew. This lets us know that Luke is the only writer in the book of the New Testament who is not an Israelite or Jewish. Look at God. You see, there is no evidence that Luke ever personally met the man Jesus, just as Paul had never had the privilege of meeting Jesus when he walked on the earth in the flesh. You know, the Gospel of Luke stresses that Jesus was a perfect man and fully God. Luke was a physician, and just like a doctor would write a historical narrative, Luke gave the longest account of the birth of Jesus. Luke put special emphasis on humanity and the humanity of Jesus, while not diminishing the divinity of Christ. You know, God always wants us to know, and when we think of the Trinity, three in one, we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all make one. And when we look at Jesus and we say that it is God in the flesh, God always gives evidence to prove and to let us see that we can believe the things that he wants us to know. But you got to go to the Word and read it and study to know. You see, Luke put special emphasis on the humanity of Jesus while, you know, still giving us a picture of his divinity. Luke also put much effort in describing the physical suffering of Jesus Christ as while yet revealing the true human nature. He also gave more descriptions to the death and resurrection of Christ. See, with you knowing this, if you read the book of Luke, you're going to see things like the bird and things like the crucifixion with more details. You know, he was able to do that because he knew man. He knew their anatomy, and he knew how much suffering Jesus had really endured on the cross because he knew the human body, and he knew what was necessary for a birth to take place. So when he writes, you could really get into the place, and that's Luke. You see, it's amazing how God inspired 40 men from all social backgrounds, occupation, and many walks of life to tell a story. You see, God wanted the different perspectives in order to relate and meet each of us as we study the Word where we are. You see, the 40 men who wrote the Bible, but you should never forget that all of it was inspired by God. The Bible is God's master plan, and it holds much evidence to show the truth that God wants revealed to his people. All the evidence that you will ever need to make a decision to accept the only true Messiah can be found in the book. It gives us who God is, what he intended for his people. You know, like the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. All of his promises, his intention for us before the foundation of the world and all the way through eternity. And then he also takes time to tell us what we need to do to achieve it. And we all know that accepting his son Jesus Christ is the only way. So at this point, you might ask, and many have asked, why did God choose Luke? Remember, Luke was a physician, the best one to provide evidence of Jesus being fully man. You see, Luke's intellect shows through his writing and his deep knowledge of things pertaining to the physical makeup of man is all evidence in his gospel. Not only did Luke write the gospel that bears his name, but he also was privileged and inspired by God to write the book of Acts. You see, the book of Luke and the book of Acts originally was written as a single book. But if at some point they decided to separate it into two books. Luke writings has the most writings recorded in the New Testament. Many people always think that it's Paul because Paul wrote 13 letters. But Luke had more writings than any other writer in the New Testament. God used Luke. God had a divine intended purpose for all. God has a divine intended purpose for all of our lives. And it was there before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He uses Luke, who is not a Jew, that did not follow Jesus when he was on earth. Luke never even met Jesus. Yet God knew that he would and could fill his intended purpose. You know, back in the Old Testament to the prophet Jeremiah, God told him, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Jeremiah 29:11, for those who are writing. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." And you see the scripture says, "Saith the Lord." So when the scripture says, "Saith the Lord," you know that this is God's talking. In the New Testament, when you see the writing in red, you know it's Jesus. In the Old Testament, whenever God said something, it would follow with, "Thus saith the Lord." So this scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That is what God said for each and every one of us, to give us an expected end. We always have to remember God uses who he wants, whenever he wants, how he wants. And because he wants to, that's just the way he planned it. And that's our background for tonight about Luke. So as we start with this printed text that we're going to expound on tonight, I want you to know the lesson tonight is Jesus teaching in parables. You see, the 12th chapter of Luke was Jesus teaching in parables. He was teaching just about the whole chapter, and there's many verses in a chapter. I ask that you read the 12th chapter. If you did, you know what I'm talking about. You see, and I have to, you know, let you know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I like to say now that it's a spiritual revelation by illustration. You see, Jesus began teaching in parables. And they was wondering why, because he wasn't doing it early in his ministry. But he knew that his time was running out. And he wanted to make it simple so that those who were interested would understand his meaning. You know, Jesus was always asked who was the parables for. And he often said that it was not for them, those who think his teaching is indifferent, those who don't want to learn the word of God, those who, you know, take the word of God as a grain of salt. You know, they let it go in one end, come out the other. They don't meditate on it. They don't take much stock in it. He said, they ain't going to get it. He said, but those who have decided to follow him. So it was almost like it was in riddles, and that when he often said that, he was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees that only wanted to use the word of God to trip Jesus up. Jesus said, they ain't going to get it. But to those who are interested in what I have to say, I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Time is running out, and I want to leave everybody as well equipped as I can. So if we look at Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 40 and 41, the printed scripture reads as follows. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And 41 says, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Jesus had just taught a parable when Peter, his disciple, was sitting there, and Jesus was teaching. And when Jesus got through, Peter said, you know, is this just for us, or is it for everybody? Peter questioned Jesus. You see, Jesus had just told a parable about being ready for his return. Jesus repeatedly said that he would leave this world, but would return at some future time with his rewards in his hand. You know, there's a scripture that they read mostly at every funeral about Jesus' return, and the scripture reads as follows. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, Peter was asking Jesus, was he it just for them, the disciples, or was it for anyone who would listen? Anyone who would obey? Anyone who trusts? You see, when we get to the 42nd verse, and then that was the question that Peter asked Jesus, and here Jesus began to answer. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? 43, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find him so doing. And 44, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he had. Now, Peter asked the question, this is what Jesus told Peter. You know, Jesus didn't give Peter a quick answer, but replied with another parable in which he defines the faithful and wise manager as one who take care of all things necessary at the proper time. You see, a portion was given to everyone to be trusted to give out when needed in due season, which makes them a wise and faithful servant. You see, when the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing his resources well, he put him in charge of all his possessions. So this is telling us tonight, if you want more, you have to do more. You see, we have been entrusted with certain things, and faithfulness requires that we manage those things wisely and unselfishly. We are all stewards, and a steward is one that manages something that belongs to someone else until they come back. See, that's what God has did with us on this world, in this world, on this earth. He has given us everything necessary for us and for others. And he wants us to be wise and use it in due season when it's necessary, because we stewards. And the someone that's coming back is Jesus. And when he comes back, he's going to want to know, what have you done for others and for him lately? You see, everything belongs to our Lord, and whatever we have been given to us to be faithful stewards. until our Lord returns. We are living in the kingdom of God, and this is just on me for some time now about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing. But, you know, many times people always say, we in this world, but we not of this world. And one day I had to stop and say, if we're not in of this world, what we are? Then I learned that we are living here in the kingdom of God. We are God's people living in his kingdom here on earth. So when I say we are living in the kingdom of God here on earth, and each of us has responsibility in the kingdom for the success of all, one body, many members, each necessary. Your time, your talent, your resources. Jesus is coming back, and you will have to give an account. You see, Jesus promised a reward for those who has been faithful to the Master. While we sometimes experience immediate and material awards for our obedience to God, I came to tell you tonight that this is not always the case. You see, if we did, we would be tempted to boast about our achievements with a spirit of entitlement and only do what's right for what we can get, not because it's the right thing to do. You know, plenty of times I have people say, Sister Diane, I pay my tithes every month. You know, why everything is just not perfect for me? Or I did this, or I did that. You know, it's almost like, you know, they're titting and tatting with God. I did this, now you got to do that. You know, God does everything for us. God gave them breath, but they're looking for a return on the tithes. And many times God does give returns that way. That's why I said, while we sometimes experience immediately and material rewards for our obedience to God, this is not always the case. If we did, we would be tempted to boast about our achievements with a spirit of entitlement and only do what's right for what we can get, not because it's the right thing to do. Jesus said, if we look for all the rewards now, we will be disappointed. You got to know that all the rewards that God has for you for things you did and who you are and what he promised you, all rewards won't be achieved now. Some can only be achieved later in eternity. And you should appreciate that, because you got to remember all things received on earth are temporal, and all of them will pass away. But you see, our heavenly rewards will be the most accurate reflection of what we have done on earth, and they will be greater than we could ever imagine. You see, the Master is coming back with the rewards in his hand, and only those things that you did for Christ gonna last. You know, your kindness is gonna follow you in eternity, not your car. Your obedience is going to follow you in eternity, not your house. Your giving is going to follow you in eternity, not your husband, you know, or your wife, you know. And I have to say husband and wife, because when someone get married and they say, to death do us part, we know that the institution of marriage is separated in heaven, because there would be no need for marriage, because there would be no more need for population, because everything that's going to be made is going to already be made. But you have to realize the things that we are chasing on earth. And I'm not telling you don't chase your dream. I'm not telling you don't get all you could get. But you gotta count the cost. If you putting everything over the things of God, then it may be a problem. God wants us to have everything. Solomon, he gave Solomon all of the riches. Solomon is the richest man to ever live until this day. And when the Bible say until this day, that means no one will ever come that's going to be richer. Solomon ate and drank and was marrying, danced and had parties and banquets, and he did all of these things. God gave it to him. So that lets us know God wants us to have. He don't want you to go get a car you can't pay for, and then you got to do all kind of things and can't sleep at night, because he wants you to live in peace. And as Paul said, be content in the state that you're in. Not to be content with nothing, but do your best. Make a plan. Work your plan. Get yourself in position to receive all that you want. So many people have these wants, but they don't put themselves in position that goes along with the want. So you have to, you know, evaluate that for yourself. If we look at verse 45, it says, but, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayed his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat, drink, and to be drunken. What he said? If that servant who he come back, who he had entrusted, you know, they just thought to be eat, drink, and be merry, and beat the people, mistreat the people, and be drunk all this time. 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looked not for him, and at an hour where he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder. That means cut in two. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You don't want to be a Christian on the battlefield all your life, and here comes the time when God's fixing to give out rewards for what you've done. And you know what the scripture saying, he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You see, man has been looking for the Messiah, a Savior, the Christ, since the fall of man. You know, back in Genesis 3, man fell and God promised that he would send someone. And all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament time, they were always wondering, just like we have to see, you know, wonder, because nobody know the day or the time. And when Jesus was asked when the Messiah was coming, he said, no one had that information but my Father. You see, so many think and wonder how long it's going to be. Some may even believe they know when. You remember the Jehovah's Witness gave a date? And some of these people calling themselves prophets say, oh, in 2000, Jesus is going to come back. Oh, in 2011, he's coming. And, you know, they always come up with these predictions. But whenever you hear something like that, you could just keep it moving, because the Bible says no man know the hour or the time. And other believers believe that he's never coming, that there is no Messiah, and that there is no need for a Messiah, and there is no heaven, you know, and there's no hell. So it just depends what people believe. You see, many of the unsaved people here think that they have time to get it right. You see, the servant in the parable began by putting off things until tomorrow, what he should be doing today. So many Christians know what they should be doing and feel like they have time. They believe, they know they saved. They love God and God love them. But they feel they have more time to become more committed. You see, Jesus is coming back, no man know the day or the hour. Christ's return at an unexpected time is not a trap or a trick by God, which God would hope to catch us on, you know, off guard. In fact, God is delaying his return so more people will have the opportunity to follow him. You see, in 1 Timothy 2:3-4, 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 3rd and 1st verse, says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." It's God's desire that everybody be saved, but God also stated he knew everybody would be saved. Because God knows everything. And to come into the knowledge of truth. You see, God has a master plan designed before the foundation of the world on appointed time. And that's just the way he planned it. It's not our will, but it's his will. What a mighty and faithful God we serve. Jesus is coming back. And one thing is certain, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know he is coming back. And we do know, well, like I said, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why he's coming back. He's coming back for his people. Hallelujah. He said he would, and I believe him. You cannot serve God as if you can control time, saying to yourself, "I still have time to change. I'm not ready to serve others. I know God gave me this talent, but I'm using it only for myself right now." You see, the unfaithful servant began mismanaging the master's resources to satisfy his own greed, using some that was for the provisions for others, all for himself. You see, all that he received was not just for them. When they talk about giving everybody their portion in due season, it's almost like he would receive an allotment for the month and he would issue it out when the allotted in due season, when the time came. But what he started doing, using everything he wanted, how much he wanted, and everything. Then when they probably asked him for something, he started beating them. Unfair, unjust, evil. God warns that judgment is certain for that servant, says it in the scripture. If you are saved, now I want you to really get this, you guys. If you are saved, this parable is showing you how you can miss your blessings and rewards, not your salvation. So don't get it twisted. You know, sometimes, you know, we say that Jesus Christ took away the sins of the world, and we ain't going to be judged for our sins once we accept Christ. And, you know, sins can block your blessings. So this is a prime example of how someone that is saved can miss their blessings and their rewards, but not their salvation. And verse 47 said, "And the servant which know his Lord's will, and prepare not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." 48, "But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to him men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." See what it's saying? The one who knows the most have the most should do the most. And he even went to say that, you know, the ones who know and don't do gonna be have many stripes. But one that didn't know and, you know, made mistakes and didn't have all of the knowledge should, you know, be beaten with fewer stripes. Because the more you know, the more you should show. The more you know, the more you should go. The more you have, the more you should give. That's just simple stewardship. You see, those who know and don't do will be held at a higher standard. Remember, God will judge each man according to his ability. See, everybody should be jumping up and down and saying hallelujah. God's not going to judge you because you can't recite the 66 books like Mary. God's not going to hold you accountable for doing things he haven't entrusted to you. That's a mighty God. That's a fair God. He's going to judge each man according to his own ability. You see, the idea of to whom much is given, much is required, is that we are held accountable for what we know and have. If we are blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use these well to glorify God and benefit others. Jesus has told us how to live until he comes. We must watch for him, work, come on, y'all, diligently for him and obey his commandments. The more resources, talents, and understanding we have, the more we are responsible to use them effectively. God will not hold us responsible for gifts he has not given us. But all of us have enough gifts. Even if you don't know it, it don't mean he didn't give it to you. If you think you don't have any gifts or purpose, just take time. Talk to God and sit down and listen. But each of us have enough gifts and duties to keep us busy until Jesus returns. Stop looking at others and what they are doing or not doing. Stay in your own lane and keep it moving, because you are only responsible for yourself. And lately, the Holy Ghost revealed something to me, that we have to stop judging people on a level we are now. And I say the level we are now because plenty of the things we used to do, we don't do anymore. And plenty of the word of God, we didn't know, and we know now, so we could do better with it. So when we take all of our growth and all of our knowledge and wisdom that we have now, and everybody should have grown. So when we look at the ones, when we look at others, you know, we want to use our intellect and our knowledge of God and our, you know, our prayer life and, you know, all of this and want to judge them to show, some people probably is judging them that way, to show them all of their faults that maybe they think it'll make them look better. But it's not, you know, we can't use where we are to try to make a measuring stick where everybody needs to be. Everybody, just like you and just like me, everybody get it at their own time. But it's our job to give them encouragement and share the word of God whenever you can and pray for them and, you know, and all of these things to, you know, to bring them along, because that's our duty. God said that's our duty. You see, it's easy to assume that only wealthy people have been given much. But in truth, we all have been given much. We have been granted the abundant grace and mercy. When you got grace and mercy, you rich. Because you see, grace is giving us the things from God that we could never deserve. And then when grace then did what it's supposed to do, and then mercy comes in, and mercy holds back the punishment for the things that we did do. Mercy holds the punishment that we don't receive that punishment for the things that we did, that we should receive them. So if you got something giving you what you don't deserve and something holding back the punishment that you do deserve, that's mighty cool. You see, we have been granted the abundant grace and mercy of God, the Word of God, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, and you don't have to wonder, you know, that someone have grace and you don't, because Romans, the 12th chapter in the 3rd verse say, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." God has given the measure of man. God has given everyone. When you accept Christ, you receive grace. And, you know, you accepted him by faith. God has supplied that with everybody. No big eyes, no little U's. Don't think more of yourself than you should. And you got to remember what God has for you is for you. And you keep this little thing I'm fixing to say now with you, you'll be all right, because everything is not for everybody. Why she got it and I don't? Why he did A, B, and C? It's just the way God planned it. When you really understand and trust that God knows best, and let God have his way, knowing his love for you and knowing that there's nothing that you could do that could make him love you more than he already loves you, you could go on and be the best you. We all are unique. There's no two yous, and if there's two yous, two of you, one is obsolete. Everyone has been given. And we will be, everyone has been given, and we will not be afforded the privilege to come with any excuses that will hold up. Oh, there's going to be a lot of excuses going on. But we will not be afforded the privilege to come up with any excuses that will hold true. Remember that. We should also not assume that the less we know about God and his gifts, the less we have to do. As evidence in Jesus' parable, we are all held accountable to know our master will. God has plainly showed us what he require. You know, and we have to do as the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, we all have to study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to study for yourself. You can't keep going on what you hear on Sunday and make that statement and half the time get it wrong or don't know what it means. Hallelujah. We all got the responsibility to know the will of our Father. You had an earthly father, and if it was a good father and he was in a home, you knew his rules and regulations. So what more do you need to know about your Heavenly Father? You see, we should ask God for wisdom on how to use our resources and how to commit ourselves to using them according to his will so that he can be glorified. And if all of us know that we were created to give God's glory. You see, in regards to our spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul explained that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Come on, y'all. God knew what you could do best. He knew what I could do. You know, we one body and everything is necessary. If I have to take and put the professor of Yale University against the man who pick up the trash and say which one was more important, you know, everybody ain't going to even get to go to Yale or hear the professor teach, but everybody going to have trash. And if a trash man decide not to come around for 6 months, can you imagine? Everybody have gifts and purposes, and each of them is necessary. So Paul, in his teaching, told us that if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. You know, some people gift is, they just have the gift to encourage. If it's given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And as I close tonight, I want to let you know that all of this is just simple responsibilities for stewardship. We have been given much, and God desires us to use what he has given to us to further his kingdom and to proclaim his glory, which is our reasonable service. That's our reasonable service. It's what we were created to do. Freely you have received all of the things that God allowed you to do, that you know, if you won't tell, be truth, you know, truthful about it. You know, me, I have to say I wasn't the smartest tool in the shed, you know. But freely you have received, so freely you should give. That's our program for tonight. And I just want y'all to know we have a lot of callers called in tonight, and many of them could have been people, you know, that hadn't been calling and called in, or it could be new people. But all I can say is glory be to God. Glory be to God. And if anyone at this time would like to give words of encouragement, anyone would like to pray, anyone would like to sing, anyone would like to tell a testimony, anyone who would like to come in any way that God leads them, you could do so at this time. If anyone would like to lead us out in prayer or anything, you can do it at this time. If not, I'm going to just go ahead on and say a prayer since Madison prayed early. And we're going to end the lesson tonight. Okay, caller, your number is 504-205-7979. I'm not going to say your last two numbers, but your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I'm just calling. This is Office Depot calling in to say hi. And I'm also calling.
You make me smile.
So welcome all new members and say hello to the old. And I just want to give just one quick statement, and it's been heavy on my heart. And I just want families to know that the devil, and everyone should know that the devil is busy. And may it be something that you're going through, just know that it's just that special. That's why I feel like the devil is trying to take it from you or just rattle you up. But you have to have peace in knowing that God will provide, he will protect, and you have to tell the devil to leave you and your family alone because you have an assignment, you're using your gifts, you're working for God, and the devil does not like that. So he's coming at us in all kind of ways, through family, through children, through spouses, through just all kind of ways. And we just have to know that we can't let him win. We can't let him win. So I thank you for these Wednesdays with this resource guide that you give us, with all this encouragement, with all this just loving on each other and supporting each other. I just thank you for giving us an open mic to have this time.
Thank you, Miss Office Depot. That made me smile. When we have a little time, I'm going to tell that story.
Because we need
Monday.
It. Yeah, okay.
I thank you so much, my sister. If there's anyone else who would like to say something, you could press the one button at this time. Anybody have a testimony what God has done for them lately? Anyone have words of encouragement? Well, at this time, it is now the 9:30 hour, and in some kind of way, God always allow us to start and start at a reasonable time. But I just want to tell everybody, I thank God for each and every one of you. So I'm going to go ahead and lead out with a prayer and a benediction. If the Lord say the same, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the same time. Continue to pray for one another, please. Continue to lift each other up in prayer. Pray not just for Wednesday night, but Bible study all around the world and church services on Sunday and pastors all around and teachers all around and the city and the state, and y'all know our country need prayer. Pray for those children that they still have locked up in cages. And I want to tell you that the reason they haven't given some of them back because they didn't even take time to record it well. And a one-year-old baby can't tell you what his mama name is. They need prayer, y'all. But I'm going to go ahead and close out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for everyone who took time out of their schedule and called the Wednesday night program, and we explored the Word of God. Lord, I tell the people all the time, I can only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. Holy Spirit, I ask and pray, please don't let the word return void, but let it accomplish what you sent it out to do. Lord, I pray for each family that's on the line, and not just on the line, dear God, but all of the people that's listening on the internet, dear God, and all of the other countries that has been joining in on Wednesday night are either listening to it on a computer. Lord, for that I say thank you. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone in the blessing that they need of, because we know some may be in the need of this and some may be in the need of that, but you able, dear God. You able and you willing. And you love us more than we could ever love ourselves. Lord, be with us until we meet again. Guide us the way we should go. Teach us so that we will know. Appoint us that we can show. Anoint us that we can flow. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And thank God. And I want y'all to know that the Holy Ghost was definitely here tonight, because that last sentence, you know, I've never said that before, so that came from the Holy Spirit. So receive it in the manner that he has sent it. That's our program for the night. Be blessed. God loves you, and so do I.